Okay, cool. Should be recording. Ah, I just froze for no reason. All right. Hi, Islam Lady. Listen to an episode of Mantook Pod brought to you by Brahma and John. You can catch us every Fridays on SoundCloud.com and on iTunes. Our iTunes. You can also catch the reruns on Sundays, followed by some visuals. I'm your host on YouTube, and I'm your host, Nims.
And I'm Sada, and we'll be discussing a range of topics, possibly debating. Sometimes arguing, but misbehaving. Our goal is to provide a whole discussion.
I thought you could see me in your peripherals.
You were doing something.
Yeah, I was like, when you can't see the screen, you're just doing whatever you want.
You do a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's cool. Our goal is to provide a whole discussion, try and put ourselves in other people's shoes, think outside the box, and just give different like viewpoints and perspectives on life, you know? Our goal is to... No, I said that already. Basically, you should follow us on social media and like
get involved in the discussions. If we do have discussions, because you know, we've not been discussing last week. Nothing was there. Right, we're gonna go straight into a hadith, and this one hasn't been updated, so we'll just be going into this page. Right.
I shall read.
Go ahead.
So, on the authority of Abu Abdullah Jabir bin Abdullah Al Ansari, may Allah be pleased with him, that a man questioned the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Do you think that if I perform the obligatory prayers, fast Ramadan, treat as lawful that which is halal and treat as forbidden that which is haram, and do not increase upon that in voluntary good deeds, then I should enter paradise?" He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, replied, "Yes." And that's Muslim. What's the term, like the people that carried it over? What's the term?
That was recorded in
That's it.
Reference 40, Hadith Nawawi
22. So, yeah, but like, if you do the basics, you'll still get
into Jannah. I'm still good with God.
Yeah. So, do the basics. And,
follows on nicely from last week, which was like, if you just say you believe in Allah and be steadfast. It's very minimal. It's very minimal requests from God, you know.
Islam is simple, you know.
It's the thing. Adit is like, the reason I feel like people have a lot of difficulties because it feels different from the rest of the world, but it's really not that hard. And I feel like we've been trained, or we've consumed content from we've consumed religious education from so many other parts, but not from Islam. Like, the rest of the world doesn't get taught Islam the way we are forcibly taught about Hanukkah, about Christmas, about like Diwali is just about making it into mainstream,
and that's all,
because Diwali is all colorful of lights, do you know what I mean? But you don't see an Eid or Ramadan, and people make
I'm
it
still
they other
explaining
it so
much to people. Like, these times I pray 5 times a day, basically.
All you need
day.
Is one scene of someone just walking away and go, "Oh guys, I just need to go pray quick," and then normalize, that's it. Like,
I try and do that at work all the time, wherever I go, like where I'm going tomorrow, I'm like, basically I need to pray. And she's like, "Oh, tell me more." And I'm like, "Okay, so between this time, I need to pray." And she's like, "Cool." And I feel like everywhere I go now, I'm just going to like make it a normal thing. Like, this is
where I feel like if you tell them and just be like, "You just need to, like, 2 minutes, that's sick, actually. Tell them in advance.
Because I've been to some places where it's, like, it's difficult to then find somewhere to pray. So now I make it a thing of, like, if I'm going to an event, if I'm going somewhere new, even with work, as soon as I got to work, when I started my placement, I was like, "Yes, sorry, where's the prayer place? Because I'm going to be doing this every day." And they were like, "I don't know." So as soon as we had a break, I was just like, "Yeah, I'm going to find the room." And I found my room. It's my room at work. If you follow me on Snapchat or Instagram, you know I do a lot of talking from that room.
Is that the room?
That's the room.
Oh, that's cute. I think I'm going to like do that, but with shaking hands. And it'll be
shaking
like...
Shaking hands, I haven't mastered that
whenever,
one still.
Like, because I always think about your hands, right? And it bugs me. It's so mad. Like, literally, I will shake your hand, like it's nothing.
Yeah.
And then I'll just be sitting there for the rest of the, like, event going...
I don't want to do that.
Like, at the last thing I did, I managed to not shake the hand of one person. And you could tell because it was like...
"Hi, I'm Nima."
No. I didn't move close enough to be able to, for him to be able to outstretch his hand.
I did that today.
So he
actually
was waiting for me to like move closer, we can shake hands, and so he would get up. But I purposely stayed back, and then I knew it was awkward, but I was just like, at least I've avoided the handshaking thing, and then it became too late to get a handshake.
So I sat down
and was like, conversation. But then the next man came right up to me, and he was like, and I was like, "Oh, white man."
Literally, the same thing happened to me today. So I met one guy, and we were standing too far for me to go.
So you kept your distance.
I kept my distance, and we looked at each other. And it was just like,
you
knew
there was a handshake.
Man, I'm not gonna handshake
you. Just left it till it was just wait. Now you're friends.
And then now this Bob comes. "Hi, my name is." I'm just like, "Okay, my name is Sada." Yeah.
I'm not good with the handshake. I need to. Before I leave, I'm gonna. I've told myself this year.
It's just in your face, and it's so, not enough. I don't have a choice. And a lot of people like. Well, you know, I did this as well when I came out. I kept going.
Sometimes I just do this.
The smoothness. And sometimes
they're like, they copy. Like, this is some new thing. But like,
I just hate awkwardness. So I just sat there thinking, I'm really short.
But one of the people I'm working with now, he's some big guy in the company, actually. So I'm going to just follow him in his shadow and be like, yeah, I'm with this guy. He asked me, like, is there anything that we need to do or no? He heard about, like, people not touching. I was like, yeah, actually, I don't want to touch anybody. He's like, fine, if I can help, if I can say something in advance for you, I'll be that person. I was like, you're great.
Because even Muslimic aside, I don't like touching people.
Okay, is that not even just the Muslim? Obviously, it's the Muslim, but like, I don't know what it has been.
This is what I'm saying. I really don't like touching people, and I know that I'm really uncomfortable when people suddenly touch me. And it's just like, even like with other girls, I ask them, are you a hugger or not? And they'll be like, oh, I'm a hugger. And I'm like, oh, because I'm not, but here's a hug. Mm-hmm. So I always
she's
make
not
it.
A hugger. She's such a hater.
I make it very clear with people. I always go, are you a hugger? I don't know why I'm able to go, are you a hugger?
Hug you now.
Oh, God, no.
I always
ask, and it's so easy for them to go, are you a hugger? And then they'll be like, oh, yeah. And then I'm like, okay. And then they will hug me because I'm not a hugger. And I'll be like, I'm not a hugger, but okay. Like, I can do that. But yeah. I can't do you handshake? Because it's like,
everyone handshake.
People don't give me a chance. They don't even give you a chance to go, oh, I'm not a handshake. Because I'm not a hugger. I'm not a handshake. Don't touch me. And it's so hard, but I feel like I'm gonna do that when they go, oh, is there any other information you need to know? I'll be like, oh, by the way, I don't really do handshakes.
Yeah.
I don't really like being touched. So can you? I feel like if I just put that into like regular correspondence, people will stop touching me.
Yeah, like when I reached out to this lady, and she was like, okay, you got any questions? So I was like, yep, prayer time. Yep, this is what I need to wear. Like,
oh, what are you going to be wearing?
Like, yeah, because I don't want to wear something tight. You'll see what I'm talking about later. I don't want to wear something.
Amen.
Yeah. I don't want to wear anything tight. Like, when I told one of my friends, I'm like, yeah, make sure you tell them. I'm like, sis, please. I'm already typing the email to tell them, like, this is my physical size, but, like, just know that I need to wear sizes up because I'm not, my body, I don't want it to be, yeah. I explained, this is my religious belief, you know, musty. They're like, that's cool, that's totally cool. I'm like, great. So now you know. So when I walk up in this place, don't be surprised. Like, I've told you who I am. You know who I am, like. And I feel like everyone kind of has to just follow that energy. I feel like not to tell you what to do, but I think if everyone just did that.
Like, I feel like if you lose an opportunity, then calm. Like, it's better to lose an opportunity than just be, like, really uncomfortable.
But I feel like nowadays, everyone's trying to be inclusive and diverse and, like, not... It's like, maybe back in the day, it'll be like, oh, maybe we can, like, sideline her. But now it's like, I can, if I really wanted to, use this against you and tarnish you because you didn't accept the person I am. Like, everyone's very big on inclusion and diversity now, so it's like...
But then it just means you have to accept a lot of things as well.
What, like what?
Like anything. Like, literally, you can just... you just have to accept anything as well. Like, if you get there now and there's a nude man next to you, you can't actually be like, ah! Well, you can, but then it's just like...
religious belief. The same religious belief that even...
That's what I'm saying. About. It's just like, oh, but, you know, like, we cater to you. Can't you just, you know, like, he's got a little... thingy on, he's not completely nude, and you're just like in the same. That's what I'm saying. Like, you have to, but this is what I don't necessarily like about it, but it's just what you have to accept.
Like, I haven't got there yet. I know what you mean. Like, that means
it's give or take. So once it's an equal playing field, everybody's allowed to do whatever they want, and I feel like that's perfectly fine. But also, it's just because your religious belief still provides limits, and you can't be like, oh, yeah, you know, cater to me, but then you're not willing to cater to anybody else, which is kind of.
I feel like I can still. So, let's say there was a nude person. I'll just be like, look,
the same religious belief. It's such a free country. You're allowed to be completely covered up and he's allowed to be completely naked.
That's fine. I don't feel like for the brand that I have as the person I am, I want to be that close to you. Like, I'll talk to you behind the scenes. Maybe.
No, but maybe it's like for a photo shoot and whatnot. So you're going to be like, we're going to cover all like everybody's going to be included. And then you just have this naked man. He's like, I believe in nudity.
Okay, it depends. Like, let's say
there's a nudist
like,
movement.
There is. Okay, let's say like I don't know, you know how companies are bringing like 50 Shades of Foundation out. Fenty, I love you, but like other brands are kind of like, I think, doing it for the sake of the fact that it's big now. Let's say there was like a big like 60 Shades and I'm one of the shades and a nude girl is another shade. I feel like I can, that's fine.
You're like
that's,
far away. Like, but I'm saying next to you.
When I'm not gonna be next to a nude man.
Like, oh, I don't have to touch it, but I can touch the chair. And that's the shoot. And you're just there like I'm not saying it's gonna happen. I'll just say
I actually have to say I'm not comfortable.
It's an example.
Can we work around this?
Like, it's an example of what happens when you're like everyone goes as well. Like, there's ups and downs.
Yeah, it's different. I feel like that's it. Still extends the principle of you still have to open your mouth because, bruv, that would not be everywhere. And it's just like, I think the principle is if you're not comfortable with something or if you need something, you have to open your mouth because no one's out here trying to, like, no one will know. I feel like with these people, if I didn't tell them, they're not going to maliciously deny me something that I want. It's just the fact that I didn't tell them. So you have to take responsibility for the things you want. So I think I'm very good in going to places and be like, oh, I don't like this. I feel like small little Muslim girl, like, I do the whole cute thing. Yeah, you can't actually bully me.
You can't come and bully you.
But, and I think I take advantage of that a little bit if I kept, like, when I'm out there. But I don't know, I haven't been in a too difficult situation. I feel like I've disciplined myself from young to just be like, I need someone to pray, and this is what I wear. Like, I'm very easy and open with that. The touching thing, I haven't really got there yet, but I've told myself I've got a deadline of, before I leave this placement, I'm going to stop shaking people's hands.
I need to leave it. Yeah, I need to, like, have a conversation with God about that, because...
Oh, okay.
It's not even like that. Like, I need God to do this. God, like, honestly, fix this. Because
help me out, love.
No, like, it's just gonna have to be a one-on-one, like, you know, man to God.
This is my situation.
Honestly, because I'm never going to, unless I meet every single man in this world. It's just so hard, and I rate the people that are able to do it because it seems so minor, but it's, and I can't. It literally burns me up inside, and I'm just hoping, like, that's enough of a guilty conscience for God not to burn my hands.
Yeah, I feel like,
because the punishment is a bit deep. I can't lie.
The punishment? What's the punishment?
Isn't it like, is it the punishment or is it
the comparison?
The comparison. Like, yeah, like
something to do with fire, something to do
like
with hot.
Like, a woman touching a man's hand is the same as grabbing onto hot iron or something like that.
Yeah, but that's for both of, I heard it like for the man, so I just thought, like, what about me?
Is it, I thought it's for the woman. Like, see, I don't know, but the comparison is a bit mad, and I'm just, I'm just kind of hoping that, you know.
But
like,
still, God, obviously, I can't say that I'm out
of the
problem.
I don't need my hands cleansed with fire. Like, I don't need any part of
I'm just trying
cleansed with fire.
To Jannah, like.
So, this is what I'm saying, I have a rave booked and everything. So.
Yeah, you really said carnival, and I was like, wow, but I'm attending. So,
I don't know why people are pretending, like, we're not going to have a carnival.
Touching.
But yeah, let me go through the headlines or current affairs for this week.
How
so today's
get onto
day,
that conversation? Hand touching. I think touch with sort of handshaking. It's actually very, very difficult. Like, god damn. I think I've mastered everything else apart from the handshake.
I've not mastered everything else, but I feel like the handshake is the thing that bothers
me. What else
me
is there to master? These are the clothes I wear. This is the food I eat. These are
yeah,
the
like, honestly, I don't
pray.
Feel like I'm 100% modest. I don't feel like I pray on time all the time, anyways. Not like I feel I'm proud of it. No, that's not the energy. Mm-hmm. But it's like, but I'm at a comfortable position where I'm like, it's progressing. I can actually feel like I'm getting better at certain things.
That's good.
Handshaking, I don't feel like I'm getting better at it because it's literally whatever that day comes.
It's in the moment thing.
Yeah, so some days I'm completely like, no, and then the next day, or even like leave that venue, next venue, handshaking again. Because I feel like, and I feel like it's a female thing where you feel like certain men just have so much oof.
It's the way they go.
Don't you have to match it and be like, oof.
The guy that shook my hand today, he was really like, and I was like, blah.
Yeah, like they come with this energy, you're like, match energy, you're like, no, but then it's too late. That's what it is. Like, it's almost, for me, I think it almost feels weaker to retract and be like, no, and I need to change that where I'm just like, no.
I have the power to just not shake your hand.
Because it's just like, it could literally be like, I'm not. And it depends on the situation, because if it's like a non-hood, so if it's like a professional setting, it's just handshake. But if it's like a casual, I'm just like, no, I'm not going to shake your hand. Like, I feel like the playing fields feel a bit differently depending on where I am.
Like, if you're in like a boardroom, and it's everybody's hand,
it's just like shake,
to,
shake,
like,
shake.
Injections.
But then if it's just like interactions, like in my playing field, I'll be like, no, I don't shake hands. Or
really?
Swords. Yeah, I can say it to people.
I'm the same everywhere. It's like, oh. And I give some weak handshake, and they look at me. I'm like, yeah, because I don't want to touch your hand.
See, I don't give weak. I match it, but I just don't like it. Oh, that's
I used to. I think maybe the weakening is me kind of weaning off. That's what I'm telling myself.
That's what I'm saying.
The next time though, I told myself today. Next time I'll be like, sorry, I don't handshake, but I'm pleased to meet you. I've already got the line sorted, and I'll do a nice, sour smile, and then yeah.
I need to practice more.
I feel like we have to put. I have to look at it from their side too. Not to say that you prioritize them, but I feel like a lot of people. They either feel so awkward they can't say anything, or like they just accept the fact that like you're open and honest with them.
Mm.
I feel like a lot of the time we make it a bigger thing than is. Do you know what I mean? So, like, asking someone to pray, a lot of the time, just like, yeah, just say. Or, like,
I'm just doing this. And I realize a lot of people don't know what this means anymore.
Really?
Like, why would you? You're not Muslim.
Wait, when do you do that?
I did it, like, my last two. I'd be like, oh, I need to. They'd be like, what? I'm like, oh, can I go pray? And they're like, oh, sure.
Don't ask them, can I need to go and pray now. That's what you say.
The can I is just like British passive aggressiveness. It's not like a can I, it's like a
can I'm just pray. Being polite.
Like, I'm going to pray. Like, Do you need me to leave? I'm like, no.
You
do you need to do anything?
No. I'm just letting you know.
Shut the door. Do what you need to do. I'm just going to be here for 3 to 4 minutes, subject to Wagwan.
Yeah.
I'm going to pray. But then sometimes you get people that watch you, and then you get people that don't know like to do. But you just pray.
Yeah,
but
like
yeah,
today.
Current affairs. Oh, sorry. Current affairs. We don't have time.
Yeah. Go,
Today's date is Wednesday, the 16th of January, and this week's current affairs and trends are 10-year challenge. A girl met a man on the train and the man got her number somehow. BBC Great. One extra single Muslim female.
Hey,
41 Brampton mannequins got into Oxbridge. Yeah. First year medical student delivers his first baby at Warren Street tube station. Let's right. go. So,
top 10 year challenge.
10 year challenge. That's one simple.
Have
stop.
You got any. Just stop.
Stop. I actually don't care for how you look like 10 years ago.
Entertaining.
No, some people were kids. I'm just seeing people pull out 2-year-old of like me at 6. I'm sorry, why are you on my timeline, please? Why is your 10-year challenge? You at 6? Get off my timeline.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think.
You're not even in the right generation
That's why for me, let alone dead. Like sometimes it's like, oh wait, you were that old 10 years ago, and you went the same tier. Like, why are you here? Like
why are you on my timeline?
Why are you on my timeline? It's really revealed a lot, but like.
And then some people are grown. Like, some people say your challenge is, like, them being grown.
You're my age. So it's like, wait, you're fully old. Like, you're just old. Not to say that's a bad thing, but, like, if you're my age 10 years ago, then you're 31.
Again, why are you on my timeline?
Why are you on my timeline?
Well, not for me, actually, because 31-year-olds are still within my age branding. So, like, I think five years or so. 5 to 6 years, that's fine. Like, I feel like we still grew up around, they're like 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
So I still grew up around 1980s and stuff.
Wait, when were you born? What year were you born?
I'm 1990s. You're like closer to 2000s.
Yes, I am.
I personally try not to think about that because she's the same age as my brother and I take my brother for a mug.
Yeah, I'm literally the same age.
And I give Zara the small respect just because I feel like it's the nicer thing to do.
That's nice. But give some respect to your brother too.
I mean, eventually.
We're literally the same age.
I know, which is why it's really sad because he's the baby.
In this house. Yeah.
Do you get to see?
Yeah.
But cool. So 10-year challenge, not really interested in those. I mean,
I like it. I find it entertaining. Like, see someone just like, wow, like 10 years ago, you did a lot. I feel like what I like about it as well is just seeing the development in technology. This is me being the nerd I am. But like the camera quality, wow. Like,
definitely.
The pixels, like.
And also, it's just like the clothing. Like, I just like seeing the upgrading. Like, why did you wear that? I shoelaces.
Saw one guy with 2 LV belts. And I was just like, you wore one here.
That was a mug.
And you wore one here.
People mocked you when you did that then. Like, it wasn't cool then.
It was never cool. But you did it with your chest and you did pose and then you put it on the internet because you found it obviously from somewhere.
And then baggy and a boot cart and the Primark.
And just loads of.
Oh, it was just lots of Primark because that's what your pockets could afford. So you could just recognize the Primark.
I remember that though. Primark is what we could afford.
Primark stripy tees, the Primark £1.50 long sleeves,
chinos,
short sleeves, the chinos,
the Mickey Mouse, the snapbacks. The laces in your hair.
But you can do that in your jabi.
In your scarf.
It's hairband on your scarf.
One of my friends shared hers. Oh, Lord. In like our group chat, not the internet, because,
it was a bad lighting, so everyone was just dark. Like,
yeah, no one knew what lighting angles were.
Some people were, like, bleaching, but I just feel like it was just bad lighting for a lot of people.
No, some people did. A lot of people didn't know what lighting angles.
They didn't know their angles. Yeah, it's true.
It was 10 years, man. We've really gone places. Alhamdulillah.
I feel like I look the same. I just had bad style.
I definitely look the same.
But yeah, 10-year challenge, thanks. It's enough now. We've done it for like a whole week. And now it's crossed over to Instagram. Like, couldn't it have just stayed on Twitter?
Yeah, I think it belonged on Twitter. I don't like things that cross over to Instagram most of the time. Like, let the TL band stay in the TL. That's what it's called. Like, TL banter. Like, stop.
I didn't need it on Twitter. I'm on Instagram, but a lot of people put it to Instagram.
I like to see the pictures, but it's just like, this is not the place. This is not the original place. No, just stop it.
I feel like the 10-year challenge should have been a Facebook thing. It just screams Facebook.
Yeah, no, because obviously everyone's pictures were on Facebook. And I know if I go,
it should have just been a Facebook thing. I'd have seen a lot. Facebook's going to start jumping on it in 2 weeks' time. Because yeah, that's like,
oh my gosh, memories. Oh my gosh, 10 years ago.
Can we?
When you log up to Facebook, doesn't it show you, oh my gosh, this is you.
I never post the memories, swipe.
Yeah, I never post them ever, but I like
it always shows me the mine are the captions. I've always just been captions, and it just always shows me the nonsense captions and the people I used to be friendly with. I can't post a single one because I don't need any of your memories in my life right now.
Oh.
Like, you said this to this person, LOL, Bans, Kiki, and I used to do this stupid spelling thing.
Oh, you know, like when people used to do like,
and I still low-key quite like kind of do it because I like the way it looks. But
no, that was
to cool. This day, actually, not to like rip at anybody, but to this day, there's someone who I remember feeling, and I really hope this doesn't count as a mustard seed of pride because I don't need that stress in my life either. But I remember someone messaged me at their big age, and it was big enough. The age was big enough for them to have kids, big age, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they messaged me, and they were still using that kind of. Like, you know how we used to spell and we'd shorten the words and stuff? We'd get rid of
letters. Don't know this
person. I don't know. That's okay. All I'll say. I don't know.
You don't know.
But you know how we used to, like, shorten words and stuff and use letters and you'd use, like, two instead of saying T-0, T-O, and instead of saying, like, other, we'd be, like, over, O-V-A, other, like, all them things. So they messaged. This wasn't quite recent, but they messaged me, and that whole message was spelt like that, and I just archived it. I just thought, wow, at your age.
Yeah, someone messaged me and they're old enough to have kids. And I just thought, lovely.
Yeah. Like, it's just like, why are you doing this to me? Like, are you not, what is this, please? Like I just, I felt like, I was just hoping it's not a mustard seed of pride because I was just like, I'm better than you. I just thought, I'm clearly levels ahead of you because I'm back to spelling with proper grammar.
I just thought it was strange. This is so 2000 and... This is like pre-2010.
It's like Paris Hilton messaging me. It's just like, sis, you're out of season. Like,
yeah. Out of a few seasons. Like, this is like not even last season. This is a few seasons ago.
It's really uncomfortable because you're just kind of like, how do you even respond? Because the continuous conversation... I'm going to respond
with plain proper English now. And you're going to be doing the use and the apostrophe here and... It's
really uncomfortable, right? Yeah. I thought it was just me that felt it. Because I just archived. I just thought to myself, there's no point engaging in this conversation.
I remember reading this. We're not on the same page. Like, are you being legit? Like,
We're definitely not on the same page.
Yeah, no.
At your big age. This is not even shots. It's actually shots. Like, if you still do this, and you're writing. And that's why also, not to be disrespectful to Nigerian Twitter, actually, I can't engage in Nigerian Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they do it as well.
They do it as well. But then theirs doesn't make sense. Because ours, at least we're getting rid of the vowels. Or you're getting rid of the right vowels. So basically, if you're writing you, right? And you're writing why you. First of all, it doesn't make sense. But I can understand because you. Why you is still you,
right?
You, yeah. Nigerians were doing... Oh, I need to remember exactly what it was. But
I know what you're talking about.
They were doing it, right? And I was thinking to myself, what are you trying to say? Because you've gotten rid of the key parts of the word. The correct... You don't get rid of the
key
the enunciated vowel. Like, you can't get rid of the, like, the get O rid of the first... in how. Because it's no longer how. It's what the hell. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, how are you spelling H-O-W? Like, even if you used to go ow, like O-W, ow, R-U... I'd still be able to go, okay, that spells how are you, but I don't think...
HW is homework. Like, HW means another thing, like...
Like, I didn't understand a single thing that you are saying. You're getting rid of... Or maybe, like, to say how are you, right? We'd get, for the R, we'd do maybe just the letter R.
Mm-hmm.
They would do AR or something. And I'll just be like, there's really no point dropping the E because...
Yeah, like, you've gone 90% of the way. Just finish the word.
I just wasn't understanding.
Yeah, no, it's a bit awkward.
Great, for example, G-R-8, I feel like they did it like G-R-E-8-T, and I just felt like...
That's great.
I felt like lot of this, great. I don't understand, great. And I just, eight. I literally said I can't continue these conversations. And my mum was forward me something, and I was like, I can't read. Not reading this, I'm not deciphering this. This is not hieroglyphics.
It's too much to do in one. Like, for what it is, it's too much investment.
Just type in English. So there's no the reason we used to do that as well is because we had those phones that you had to type
yeah, exactly. Okay, but we're in 2019,
the
honey.
Keypad. No one's we have really four letters on our keyboard exactly. Now and predictive text.
Exactly.
There's really no reason for
like this. Half the time I don't actually type the words. I'm actually really bad. I need to start reading because I've realized my grammar and like everything's just gone downhill. But like half the time I don't type the word. Like for example, if I do ASA, my phone knows I'm saying assalamu alaikum.
I put it into my shortcuts.
Really?
So I do ASWW. It's in my shortcut. It's assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And then people, I feel like people get really like,
wow, she really said the full Monty.
No, babe, ASWW. And oh, for the Zach, it's JZK. It says Jazakallah Khair. And then really? It comes up with predictive sis right time. After.
Oh, really?
Why this is 2019.
No, I just do the first few letters and my phone knows what I want to say. I haven't done shortcuts, but maybe I should. But ASA shortcuts. And WA and...
And then the rest is, yeah, like Allahumma barik.
Allahumma barik. Yeah.
My phone knows how to mention Allahumma barik. Yes.
MashaAllah, my phone is Allah, Muslim.
The minute Allahumma barik.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah.
My phone is, the only thing is, hal. It always feels like hal is a name, so it capitalizes hal.
Really?
Yeah, and I just can't bother to correct it. So it's just Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. All the time. But no, like my phone, we spell it and there's, I have unlimited texts and you know, you have 180 characters. There's really no reason. Like it burns me when you've, before Threads existed anyway, Sha, when you had to go back into your Twitter and get rid of like a comma into your tweet just so that you can fit it in. They used to burn. But now there are Threads. We can just keep on talking.
Yeah. I think I was a Thread person before Threads became about.
No, I just feel like Threads.
No, I feel like
should be called Sauda. Like Sauda was like Sauda. If Sauda had the clout, she would have been a notes person. She'd have done everything, but she knew no one was gonna open that. So now that there's Threads, she's living her life. Otherwise, Sauda would have been that person that would write everything she had to say in the notes, screenshot, and then put it on the tab.
Yeah,
and we would all kept on scrolling because we'd just be, you know, we just open, you're just thinking,
too much.
The only captions that I read are Humans of New York, and that's just because I know there's something in there. Everybody else. I
stop reading them sometimes.
Nah, this is a bit like
some of them, because you retweet them and stuff, and you bring them to my wherever I'm looking. I'm like, okay, let me read it. But sometimes I get to like 65% of the way and I just stop.
But then that's when it gets juicy, because then that's when it takes a turn for the worse, and it's like, but then he was a crap cheating monster. They're like, because they literally start.
I know when to stop. I know when to stop, because otherwise I have to read to the end. Sometimes I feel like because I don't read, I think I need to. 2019, I definitely need to start reading again.
But then when he was in those part one, part two, part three stories, that's when it was too much for me, man.
Who?
Humans of New York. Because sometimes the stories didn't finish with one, and then sometimes you start reading from part three and. You'd be like,
oh my gosh, now
like when you did the Rwanda one, I had to go back and look for what happened. Because then she was like, and then we hid under this and we was in the, like, we was hiding under shit or something. Like, what's going on? I had no idea what the series is about. Mm-hmm. That was the most heart-wrenching, absolutely gutting. I can't even explain the emotions. I really wish I'd never read that because I just felt, wow, like, what humanity does to each other. And this is in your lifetime, as in, she is alive today. Talking, and she doesn't look anything older. Like she looks like maybe she's 10 years odd older than my mum or something.
Mm-hmm.
So she witnessed her whole family massacred, all because of like the tribe they were or something. Like that Rwanda thing. Like, and Hotel Rwanda is always going to be like the most saddest thing. It's going to be one of the saddest shows or movies. But that whole like what people do to each other and what the lengths people are willing to go,
mm-hmm.
and even like what's going on with the in the Chinese de-Muslim camps, like
every time I see that I'm like, okay, well, what can I actually do now, because I'm getting a bit tired.
Not gonna lie, I scroll past because the pain in my chest,
it hurts me, man.
It's too much. It really hurts me. I can't there's a limit. I've said I've consumed my trauma for the year, and what we're doing this year, I'm done, because 2018 had a backlog, so I'm not even going to pretend that I'm going to go into this year
with more
investing and soaking. And I am done with all the deaths and the murder, and when God lights everybody's asses on fire, I'm just hoping he carries me on a golden chair to heaven, because
I mean, me too.
Do you know how often I talk about heaven? Because I've just decided life.
Yeah, that's where I'm going, man.
I have rave booked, party with the jinns and the lions and the angels.
Yeah, you really said lions.
Because why not? Like, deep it. Like,
you can kind of have everything you want.
You can. Why not have a talking lion, a flying monkey? Like,
okay, I mean.
I'm honest, and I feel like a lot of people are like, yeah, what does that mean? But kid, it means God's told me there's this place where I can do anything I want. I'm gonna try it out. Yeah. I'm gonna say anything,
because honey, I can do a lot. Yeah,
anything.
And a lot of people are like, yeah, and I'm like, okay, well, let's roll through.
Are you sure? Like,
I'm about to start.
Just let you know. This button. This button.
This red button.
Can I just blow up Earth? Let's just
try that.
Just try it out. What would that look like? Okay. I'm just saying. But
yeah, it's a right. challenge. And then okay.
Linda 20 from Bromsgrove shared the images of texts from Josh on her Twitter. So this week a story dropped on the timeline, which I actually read live, and it was about a girl who met this guy on the train, had a couple conversations, got home, and I think a few days later he started texting her, talking about I met you on the train, talking about the way it was. How is that like
possible?
She was like, how'd you get my number? He was like, you'll find out on Thursday. Where are we going on Thursday? And come out on a dinner date with me. Like, he thought it was the most romantic thing ever. When she told him that she found his approach creepy, he called her a bitch. Yeah, he's just like,
why do men feel so entitled to like my time, my energy, my space, my life?
Do you know what this is? Josh felt like he was doing the absolute most. Like,
he's doing that romantic. He thought he was bare creative. You know, when guys do the most, trying to be romantic.
He really read the playbook from a movie and thought this is going to work. And real life told him no. And this is why I'm like, all of this stuff is fake, because the movies really did sell us all these dreams about how love and everything should be.
No, they didn't tell you to find my number creepily.
But and then people do this. People be like, oh, I reached out and I just thought I'd shoot the show. And the next thing you know, it's Sleepless in Seattle, and there's a whole movie, and we're talking about how it's the most romantic scene ever.
No. That is hella creepy. I'll be creeped out too. I feel like if I told you my name is the Sarah Danuga and you found me on the internet, I'd be like, oh, I found you. Because I can't stop doing it, but that is cute. That's romantic.
No, it's not. It's still creepy as hell.
It's a bit creepy, but I can take that because I gave you information. I didn't give you my number. I didn't give you any cue to go and find my number.
We had a conversation on the train and it banged.
Do you know how many people have come?
Wait,
come on.
See?
Please.
See?
Nonsense.
All you people like to talk to strangers.
I have conversations with people when they have conversations with me. I never really just start talking to strangers, but I feel like I have this like very welcoming, like, you know, I remember the crackheads that spoke to me on the way here. I just don't understand why he chose me to speak to. I feel like I have a very welcoming face, even at work. These just random people, I guess people at work are friendly, but it's always me out of all the students they want to speak to. I don't know why. I just have speak to me on this big forehead of mine. Do you know what I mean? So I always speak to people, but I never start conversations.
Yeah, but now you're being wifed. Like, in all honesty, A to B,
dead.
If that was a movie, no one would have a problem with it. A to Z, like, no one would have a problem.
I'm the person in the movie, I'd be like, but that's not realistic.
Because, do you know what would have happened, yeah? This is what would have happened. We would have watched it from his point of view, where he went through bare different lengths, and he'd probably had to do so much work. And his friends would be like, if you do my dishes for the whole month, I'll do this. Or if you make my packed lunch. And so he would have done it, committed. And then by the time he finally gets the numbers, everyone would be on his team, because it would have been like, oh, the emotional work. He really means it. And then he'll move to the girl and be like, oh, you know, whatever. Or he'd even show up at her doorstep with a back packet of roses. Like, he could do something. Everyone would be like, oh my God, it's so amazing. Like, it's so fantastic.
If you want to do it romantic, fine. I like that. But can't just have a bit
romantic
of sense.
Is literally consent. That's all it is. Because the moment someone agrees, it's romantic. Because she didn't agree, it's not romantic. Bare people have posted their shoot my shot and now we're married. Found her number, now we're married.
Found my number will never be romantic. I'm so sorry.
I'm telling you, it's romantic.
If it's romantic. Like, I found you on the internet where I'm already putting myself out there, I gave you a cue to go off, that is, I think I see that as effort. Like, you pursued me because I gave you a lead.
I didn't give you a lead.
Did I even tell you my name, that you found my number? That's mad scary. No, go
find
away.
Find your number.
Block, delete,
always
move
be
country,
romantic.
Bro.
It's how it's received.
No, it
also,
it's
romantic
that,
or creepy.
It's the fact that she didn't even say how I found it. So, for example, one guy now says, oh, I found a number. Fine. I won't immediately think creep. I'll be like, this is
he
creepy.
He said he found it. He said that he realised that they had mutual friends on Instagram. And so he asked one of their mutual friends to pass on the number.
Okay, there's a story.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He found the number. He didn't hack her account to find a number.
I thought he was like a hacker or something.
No, he went through Instagram and he found, like, my problem is the friend that's giving out numbers.
You don't do that. No.
But then this is what I'm saying. Like, there were enough people to validate the fact that he's not a madman-ish, because it's like, we have mutual friends. We run in the same circle. I could always ask my friend, oh, you know that boy Josh? Yeah. Da-da-da. My friend be like, oh, Josh is so cute. Blah, blah, blah. He's so cool. Blah, blah, blah. Da-da-da-da-da. This could have landed in so many different ways. It's only creepy because how she received it. And I'm not saying that it's not creepy, because it is still creepy. I'm saying that we have been trained to believe these kind of methods are all right.
No, because I feel like if you edited it, it would be fine. So, for example, if there was like, oh, I'm gonna give this guy a number beforehand, then yeah, cool. Or like, there has to be a bit more than I'm just gonna hop up on your phone.
Why? Because you feel like that. Some people don't feel have that attachment to their number and has and have like 600 contacts, and for them it's just like, oh cool, what's good. This is what I'm saying, like, it's the receipt of it, the how the person on the receiving end feels is what determines how
and
it was.
As
he could have easily followed her on Instagram and started DMing her, and she could have been like, that's just as creepy. I
feel like social media is a bit better than my number. I don't know, but like, for example,
you can block
with certain people, it's like, you know, they'll be cool with it. So that, I feel the friend should also be dragged into this story. It's not
the
just
friend is problematic,
person.
Yeah.
The friend is hella problematic. Where are they in this story? Sorry, it's not just
Linda. He didn't
want to
release the number. He was like, if you come out on Thursday, I'll give you, I'll tell you which friend it was.
Black, you're blackmailing me to, no.
No. My problem is that he instantly called her a bitch the minute it didn't work out.
Yeah, because the entitlement. You're just trash. This is why we say men are trash. This is why I'm not dropping until you guys change. What makes you think that I have to respond well? Because you always bring, but there's visuals. So you forgot.
No, I was just like, ASMR.
Cold. Are they cold?
Yeah, they're really
cold. Oh, you
cold.
Like fries. As you said the other day, like,
I really like fries. I'm not fast. And I can't really, like, warm them up anyways because there's ketchup there. But
oh,
that's
yeah, the same. But no, I feel like it's just, okay, the problem is in the story. You can always debate about how he got the number, blah, blah, blah. Is that creepy? Is that not creepy? Till the end of time. The problem is the entitlement at the end. Because I rejected you, you now call me the B word. Like, no.
That's the problem.
So if I said yes now, am I no? Like, you're actually a bin.
Yeah, that's the problem to me. The problem is how reactionary he was and how upset he got the minute it didn't work out the way he wanted.
You don't.
How
you're
he
not
really
owed anybody's time.
He was doing the most just because he did a couple Google. Listen,
you're not owed anything in this life. Men don't get that.
My friend actually told me a really funny story.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna like try to summarize it as best as I can without giving out too much information. But she's talking about how once upon a time someone she knew posted that they was on the plane back from somewhere. And she was like, they were on the plane back from somewhere. So they posted that, oh, you know, en route back to London
coming
or whatever.
Home,
blah, blah, blah. And that's all they posted.
Mm-hmm.
Get to the airport and one of her followers. So, no, gets to the airport and this man has like maybe her name on the board or something like that. And like a bunch of roses. And he hands it to her. And then he hands her the phone. He's on the phone. And it's one of her followers talking about, oh, basically he tracked down what airport she was at and where she was when she was gonna arrive and was like, I'll drop you home, my driver will drop you home, basically all from that one post. And she was just like, no, like my dad or my uncle or someone I know is coming to pick me up, like they're here. But it was just the fact, and since then she doesn't even post information.
You don't
anymore.
Post that stuff. So I remember I went to this event and this person, I won't say her story because I don't want to tell her story for her, but she was saying how she was posting how she was going to this place in a foreign country, and because she was posting her journey, someone had followed her. But this wasn't a cool story. So the person that just pretended to be her driver and was going to do something bad, and literally he decided, I don't know why, only God knows why, he decided to not take her to maybe where he was going to take her before. He took her to the actual hotel, but when he got to the hotel, he was like, you are lucky that I didn't like do what I wanted to do with you. Like, yeah, he turned around, he was in front, he was like, you're lucky that I didn't like. And she's like, oh my gosh, like, I
could
have died.
Pack your bags on the plane, I'm going back home.
I could have, he could, like, no one knows what he would have done, but he fully told her, like, yeah, this is what I attracted you because you're exposing yourself.
And
this
is
what flight you're on, what airport you're in, and she didn't even question, like, the driver. She just got into the car. And then I think it was when she got into the car, he told her that, oh, I'm not your driver, by the way. Like, I'm just someone who tracked you on thingy. And then she was like, she has no one, she's in a foreign country. This is not even, like, American foreign country. This is, like, Asia, like, them foreign countries. She's screwed, and he just managed, I don't know, something possessed him to not do the bad
honestly
thing he
to God,
intended to do.
Three calls Ayatollah Kursi when you're leaving your house for protection. One. And two, move in silence. Because I said, when my friend told me that story, I was like, this is why I can only thank God that I always post. Because I'm going to be late to places, whenever I'm recording myself on the way to places, I always save it and wait till I'm at home or till I get there to post so that people can't be like, Nims, you said you were going to be around the corner, but I can see from your posting you're still in somewhere. So I always, because of that like pettiness and the fact that I'm always late, I never post things directly or immediately. And when she told me that story, I was like, thank God. Because imagine with the way I like to post en route or the way I'm like, I always only ever post my feet walking. I never do scenery shots because somebody is going to recognize that scenery. It's the same way, what's it called, when these Korean guys, when they came, what was it, Gray? When he came to London, he posted a pic of him crossing Shoreditch, crossing across Shoreditch and he posted, all he did was post like a traffic light pic or something. I saw it and I clocked the building and I was like, I know exactly, these lot are down the road. Like, I know where they are because these are my ends.
That's my ends, yeah.
He posted
yeah.
the thing and for him, it might have just been posting, but I saw it immediately and I was like, I can't even predict what hotel they're staying at.
Because from the fact that you're in this area.
Because of this particular angle you've shot it at, I was just like, yeah, I know where you
are. If I was a mad stalker, that's it, you're finished.
I'm sure Bear fans was able to even guess their location and go hang around there because it was so bait, and then he posted something else from somewhere else, and like all his posts and his snaps, and I don't know if they were live or if they were instant or whatever, but all his posts and his snaps really pinpointed the area they were chilling in, and I was really like,
"You're doing a lot."
I was just like, I was saying to my friend, I was just like, "Should we just go down? Should we just go loiter yeah. at this place because we will find
yeah
basically well
we don't you have to be careful with these things, like especially now, for example, if I am let's say I'm traveling. I'm not posting where I'm going until I get there.
Clouds.
I'll post plane.
As soon as I come back to London, I'll be doing 6 months throwback because
yeah, I'm very I do my throwbacks. Like I would tell you, I went to XYZ after I've got back from that XYZ, or at most like I'll snap or I'll post that I'm there, not ever the hotel because I don't know who's gonna be in that country, who's gonna be There's an element of safety you have to control. So I feel like she too is partially to blame because.
But it's because you wouldn't think, that's why. So it's like she's partially to blame, but then she's also not at fault because necessarily think that you're she's giving this you're not thinking this information, because you know when people post their catch flights or whatever, where they post their tickets
yeah
and then they'll blur
you
out
have to
certain
cover
things.
Out the destination you literally you post don't even do that
you literally you just post the little bit that they rip you don't even post the barcode don't
you
even
just post British passport and this or whatever passport
post the back
and
of your
this.
Passport fam like,
yeah
because little numbers little barcodes
you
little
can track
so
that flight
and
that's it but be careful guys
moving on so I was on the BBC
my radio doc.
So I got approached to do a radio documentary
she did.
And it was on the BBC it's called Single Muslim Female you've got till what the end of the month to listen to it I'm still trying to find a way to secretly download it off their website and keep
I'm
it for life
sure you can.
I think I can but we'll have to see and there's actually one part of it that I want to talk about because I feel like I didn't expand properly. So there was a moment which I remember today
mm-hmm.
when they were talking about women who like to cook for men, and I must have said brainwashing, but I don't know if like
did you say that did that go live?
Yeah.
I don't remember hearing that.
I don't think it picked up because I was just sitting like really far away.
Okay.
So I said brainwashing, and then Reese obviously replied, and he was just like, "No, like some people like they're just a shine of caring," and I kept quiet.
I don't remember hearing that bit. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it caught on camera and it caught the mic because I didn't like go I didn't speak up. I think you was even saying that I didn't speak up.
No, you did, but I don't know.
I don't feel like I was speaking loud, but I just...
I feel like the other people, I'll just say it because I say what I thought. Big man energy in it. I feel like he was asking you questions and these other people were spare. That's how I felt it. Not to say you're spare in life, but I just felt like from... Obviously, I'm biased because I know them and I love them, but I feel like he was asking you stuff and then they were kind of like getting in your way.
Then I need to listen to it because I felt like he was asking them all the questions.
No, I felt
and
like
then he'd
like,
be like, "So what do you think, Nima?"
Yeah, exactly. He'd be asking you directly, like,
"But then he'd
Nima,
be like,
well,
why
when
I ask Sadia, is da 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 da? When I ask Zafar, is da 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 da?" And then he'd
obviously
be like,
"But I'm hella biased because I only listened it for you." But like,
they were getting all the questions, and that's why I was just like, "Oh, if I don't speak up, people are just gonna assume that my story is the same as theirs," and that's why I felt like I was cutting off them a lot of the times because none of the questions were actually directed to me.
I feel like they were kind of cutting off you, so you were saying something. I was like, "Yeah, they might just tell them the truth." Like,
when you feel like you're the most Muslim in the room, I'm not saying I'm the most Muslim in the room,
I felt like
I all of a sudden became the ambassador of Islam.
Yes,
because people were willing to just say anything, and I was just like, "Nah, babe, this can't run." And I'm not that Muslimic.
I know what you mean.
The Muslimicness was not my brand. Like, that's not the badge that I'm wearing.
Yeah.
I'm more like, live your best life. But when someone else is like, just be happy, and I'm thinking, "Nah, babe, that's not what God says." Like, don't even put me in this room with you about just be happy.
No, there's a limit, and I feel like I'm always that person too. And it's just like,
and I don't like.
Don't
it.
Get me wrong. I don't mind wearing the badge of Islam. Like, I don't mind. I've done it for the entirety of my life. I feel like I'm gonna do it for the rest. It's
but
cool.
Then it's like when the Muslims as well are siding, and it's just like, I just
want
to be happy.
I'm thinking.
So you're making me look like the mad one,
extreme person. I feel like it comes down to looking extreme in the world where obviously extreme is branded as just being practicing or bad.
We're all raised differently. Like, if it's just a case of just like repping the way you live, like if I feel like if it was just me and Reese having a conversation one on one, it would have been like rep what you grew up in, and I'll tell you a bit about my upbringing.
Yeah,
and it would have just been like a let's get to understand each other's upbringing conversation.
I feel like, personally, what I would have wanted is just you and Reese. I feel like that would have worked. I feel like,
but then it was just like these other two people, which, like, in all fairness to them, like, the minute I heard they were comedians, I was like, okay, I can tell the direction this is gonna go in.
Me too.
Because I feel like a lot of people pander to this particular narrative that is for this particular audience, because the majority of this country is a particular audience.
Yeah.
And so when I heard that it was comedians, I already had an expectation of what was personally going to happen. I just thought to myself, so I came in locked and loaded, like, no matter what's going to happen, all I know is I am going to tell you what Islam says, and then tell
you.
So
you did, and I was very happy.
I feel
happy.
Like, I do you, proud. Babe, but this is the facts. Facts on facts. Yeah. Facts. And I felt like I didn't really necessarily want to be these are the facts person, always bringing it back to the facts, because that's aside, the facts aren't really what's in my story. That they're just
the basis of
my story. The manifestation is moved on from the facts
a lot more. Yeah,
but having to bring everyone up to the level that you're already operating on, because some people
clearly
aren't operating on this level. And there was a bit when I was just like, yeah, my brand of Islam, because I don't know if you're operating with my brand.
I feel I remember that bit.
I was just like, because, you know.
And I couldn't imagine your face. And I was like, this is a look.
I was like, I don't know about you guys.
So well. Like, you spoke so,
but
like, calmly.
My brand is, and like, so, like, oh, can't really rock with that. And I said it off air. I was just like, I want to confirm to people that I'm not, what's it called? Like, I'm not for love and I'm not for marriage like this. Like, I'm not, like, I feel like marriage is a scam anyways. But I just feel like, and the guy was like, no, make sure you say. I was like, yeah, I want to, but I just feel like that's another conversation, and it's not for this time. So, like, if you're going to, because he was ripping off Muzmatch, and I was just like, oh, I don't have, the male comedian.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't have a problem with your beef with Muzmatch, because Muzmatch don't pay me. Yeah. But I felt like since meeting them, they were cool people. And so, cool people-wise, and obviously your experience of them was that they weren't cool. And so I was like, oh, sus, babe, like.
That's your personal experience.
That's your personal experience.
But my personal experience is different. I'm going to speak on that.
And he was just like, Muzmatch is so conservative. I was like,
you said conservative. I was like, are you sure?
I was like,
are you
they even blur out people's faces. I was like,
are you talking about the same Muzmatch that I've heard?
I was thinking, I can't even rep Muzmatch because I don't use it and I don't know them. And I felt so bad. I thought, if I had used it, I'd have been able to, like, go.
I don't think. It's basically Tinder for Muslims, isn't it?
It's basically Tinder.
It's like, and you can, like, do your rate of your deen. I feel like it's really not conservative.
I feel like it's really not, like, for real. It's really not conservative. And it's really open.
Like,
it really allows for
I feel like a normal
for you to feel some kind of way, it means that
a lot's going on.
That's the problem. Do you know what I mean? And then he was like, he prefers non-Muslim apps, and I was like, that says a lot about you. Like, I'm not gonna call you any type of name or anything, but it just says a lot about you.
Everything says something about you, right? At the end of the day, and that does say a lot about you.
If you're preferring non-Muslim apps because you feel like they allow you to find people, but it just means that your Islam isn't
at your
a basis. Yes, it's not one of your considering factors. But he was like, someone says asked if there's a need for there to be apps for just Muslims, and I was waiting for them to answer, because I was just like,
I don't think he said anything like straight.
I did not reply.
You didn't say yes, but I feel like you said something in that topic. I just remember listening to it.
He asked, and I feel like, because I was just thinking this, in my head, like, the reason I didn't reply is because in my head was because I feel like I think I had like a really rude reply, because I was just like. And I remember it was something along the lines of like obviously, like, you can't be like, is there a need for just black spaces?
That's what I thought, exactly.
Yeah, like, there is always going to be a need that caters to people. Like, you can't say certain things should not cater to specific people because people have their requirements. And if you're not going to be inclusive, let them build their own spaces. Exactly. That's what I was thinking. But I feel like I just let them answer, and I just thought to myself, like,
if he answered, it wasn't that, definitely.
It was a very straightforward answer.
Not expecting to say that, but I kind of felt like you weren't going to... Like, I listened to it and I was like, this is very limit. Like, I like that. You're very, like, you spoke well, but you're still very yourself. And I like that.
But there's that one bit that I was really proud of. And it was when I was like, I don't do difficult love.
Yes.
Because I just honestly... Like,
that is limit.
I was just, in my head, I was thinking, we can speak about this for time. But I was thinking, I don't know what else I said. But I just felt like, you can't come and kill me, you know? And then I was looking at it, I was just like, you actually can't come and stress me. Why are you coming to... They were like, oh, yeah, you know,
because someone kind of implied that, like, you know, the reason why marriage is such a thing is because we're trying to make it forever, and you're like, no.
Divorce exists.
Divorce is there. Like,
divorce is a very clear option. The girl said to me after, she's really happy. I said, I don't know why you're trying to villainize divorce. Divorce really exists as an out.
Definitely.
Why am I trying to make a marriage a forever thing? This whole thing about, like, That's why I'm like here for, like, may Allah bless your union and may make it successful and stuff like that. Like, okay, cool. But may this be your last and your first and your forever. Nah, be.
In an ideal, but yeah, but.
It's not even an ideal. It's just nah. Like, the way life is, if something's going to work out, it's going to work out. And if something's not going to work out, it's not going to work out. And if it doesn't work out. And this whole thing about finding your person and the match and all, I don't even think that's from Islam. That's not from Islam.
One true love and all that.
Yeah, like this is the man for you. This is your match. This is.
There's people that there are multiple people on this earth that you can be compatible enough to be.
I don't think it's from Islam, which is why there's a clear example of divorce in from the Sahabas and Sahabiyat. Like, this whole one for you and never again, and that's why your husband can do whatever trash you want because you're locked and loaded for life. You've made marriage a prison sentence,
yeah.
And then you've wondered why people don't want to sign up for it. Mm-hmm. Genuinely, I'm not saying that. And then someone, as I had this conversation with someone, they were like, I feel like you look at marriage too lightly. Like, you're like, in the sight of God, you're looking at it too. And I'm like,
that you're naive. Like,
because it's half your deen, you know? And I was just like, it's half my deen, but it's not my entire deen.
Exactly.
One. And
50% is not even it's not even the 2-1.
Half
it's
your deen.
Even a third.
So good on third. This whole fixation on marriage is really just. And I did the doc because I wanted to explore it and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I really let the last 6 months of 2018 be a whole marriage and love and dating and things like that. And yeah, I actually don't mind being the negative Nancy in the room when you look talk marriage and dating. Like, I think it's really fun. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just felt like he was just like, oh yeah, my friend's mom. Because I was like brainwashing, and he goes, no, my friend's mom really loves to cook for her. Like, whenever we come to her house, that's one thing she's really on. Do you remember hearing that?
No,
that must have been. But I know those bits. Then.
I feel like there are bits that I had to like go back to make sure I was listening to properly. So maybe I didn't realize I missed it, but I don't remember.
It might have been off air. He was like, you know, she goes around and she cooks for everyone, and da 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 da. And I kept quiet because he was like, he has a really fond memory of it. But when I thought about it, like,
you do because you ate the food and it was nice.
You don't call chefs cooking out of love or cooking because they care for you, but yeah. They clearly went into it out of passion and they like to cook. So why is it that when a woman likes to cook and she wants to cook for people and she's happy to see people cooking, it's her way of
expressing
her love. It's her one of her love languages, da 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 da, food. And I'm thinking, yeah, fine, it's a love language, whatever. Mm. But we've been conditioned to believe it's a love language. Definitely. And we've been conditioned to
acts
believe
of service as a broader thing, yeah. But I feel like cooking is too specific.
But you've been conditioned to believe that it's something that women should love to do and women didn't. So the girl asked me, I don't know if it was on air or not, actually. The girl asked me, do you cook? And I was like, yeah, I can cook. And she was like, do you cook? And I was like, yeah, I do cook for people. Like, I like to cook for people, but it's not a, this is my nurturing nature. That
because I now love you. I want to cook
something. She's like, don't you want to just cook for us? Like,
no.
Cooking is something I like to cook. I do that for everybody. Like, am I in love with Aisha's mom? Like, I cook and I deliver food to Aisha. Like, I cook and deliver food to people.
That's normal. Never deliver food to me.
You live way too far. But this is when I had a car, though. First of all, I had a car and I cooked. But I'd
and it was something you could do.
Well, something that was very easy for me to do. I'd cook and I'd give people food. I'd be like, oh, I cooked here. This is like a respectable thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a, this is love. I'm totally loved. And I just felt really uncomfortable thinking, we are conditioning women.
It makes me very uncomfortable, the whole cooking for love thing. Like, it came up on the TL as well.
It's like people actually die for this love thing, you know, and it's not me.
No, it's just weird. Like it's
ride or die. I'll take a bullet. I'm not taking a bullet for nobody.
That's I love that. Doesn't make sense.
Taking a bullet for nobody.
I don't expect anyone to take a bullet for me either. Like, I just feel like I'm never gonna be. I pray that.
And this is not even including children. Like, obviously, like taking a bullet. I remember I used to ask my brother.
Oh,
like,
yeah, kids.
I think I asked Abby. I was like, would you get shot on behalf of your brothers? And he probably explained it in this logical manner. He was like.
Basically, no.
Nah, he said, well, I'm like, which brother would you take a bullet for? We used to ask a couple of dumb questions. But I can't remember exactly what he said now. But yeah, I'm not taking a bullet for no one. But yeah, it was a whole documentary on single Muslim female looking for love.
I loved it. Well, I loved your parts of it. It's you and him. I feel like they just defocused you. Like, it was just annoying.
I can't really comment on that because I feel like meeting them. No. Like, meeting them. Could be a necessary. It could be
an
influential moment. Yeah,
obviously,
which is
obviously.
Why, like, even when I first got the emails, I was gonna ask the girl, and I was just like, this isn't really what
I remember
explained.
I remember,
just like, to be honest, I don't even care because there's not a single person I've met that's been actually useless. Like, someone has given me some sort of information, taught me something, and yeah, the guy did say a lot of things that I feel like I learned from off air and stuff like that, and it was very interesting to be in a room with people that are not in my usual circuit, and I've never met comedians before. Mm-hmm. And
it really, opened yourself. Like,
they were having so many conversations. They were like, "Oh no, man, you must be like uninterested." I was like, "No, keep on talking. Like, this is very interesting stuff to me. Like, the way comedians have to work the circuit and get to where they're going, and the kind of efforts. And I could see that. Like, honestly, I respect their hustle because they're very hardworking people,
mm-hmm.
and it's not an easy craft. And like, the woman has had to make several sacrifices because no one respects comedian as a career path. I feel like this is me projecting, but I feel like that's what she was saying, summarizing. So it's like, people look at her, want to get married, no one's willing to give their sons away to a comedian.
And that's fair, that's fair.
Do you know what I mean? It's just like a
Like on the person level, not, I'm not saying they're bad people or whatever, I just came from them, so
yeah. No, like when he was talking, I'm a hypocrite because I sat there and he was just like, even he was talking like, he was like, as a comedian, he's not a lawyer or an engineer or a doctor, and I was just like, yeah, I'm not even gonna lie, there's no way comedian swings in my house, like
really?
Can't bring a comedian, come on. That's a joke rating to write itself.
I see your parents just like, no.
As far, like, my mom would be like, we have accepted a lot.
But
this is the line. What kind of jokes will he be making? What do you joke?
I see your mom. That was a very good
My mom would be like, I was looking at this guy, I was just like, yeah, can't, like, you will face that same prejudice
parents.
In my household. And my
My parents, it depends on what day I catch them, I think. Because they give me a lot of, like, my parents are very, like...
I think you're lying to yourself. There's not a single day that your dad will allow a comedian into your house.
No, my dad can be so cool. I feel like, no. Let's say he...
And I really think you're underestimating.
No. I feel like, let's say he aligned in everything else, like, do you know what I mean? Like, let's say he was
a serious practicing person.
Yeah, he just happened to be a comedian.
Then he just wouldn't be a comedian.
No.
Which serious practicing people
person give them the chance?
Really,
they can be multifaceted.
And then if you're a comedian, you're a dead comedian, because what joke are you really making this halal?
No, come on.
There's not a single halal comedian that I've been like, yeah, you're really funny.
No, not all humor is rude and unpleasant, man.
No, but the basis of Islam is you don't joke with lies.
Yeah.
So unless you're living that mad life that's just banterous.
Yeah.
And unless
that's the man that will bring home.
This is what I'm saying. So you're now willing to suffer. What suffering are you going to put yourself through for banter, just so that you can be the butt of his next joke?
The banter's you. Don't worry, it's not me.
That's what I'm saying. Like, comedian is just so far.
And I feel like if he took every box and he was serious, you could see he was serious, just happened to be a 9-to-5 or whatever evening comedian.
I said, oh, see, so he can't be full time comedian.
Don't
look
they
at
do
you,
the
nice
shows?
No. Evening comedian.
No, because don't they do the shows in the evening?
Okay, cool.
But it's that's your hustle.
That's his passion.
That's your thing.
That's how he feeds you.
Yeah, I'll eat the rest. You brought the rest home.
See, I don't do suffering, so no, that's not a comedian.
No, I just feel like if you are
Jeff Bezos or nothing less.
To be honest, Emily.
Oh yeah, they asked a question like, would you convert someone?
Oh no.
Why?
Yeah, no.
Why must I suffer?
Mm-mm.
There's so much suffering in this world, and I now need to now do the work to convert someone.
Even like adapting your Islam to like someone else's Islam. You know how people practice in different ways. So like, okay, I don't like to say Salafi, but like, you know, there's people that are on that like wave, and there's people that are like, they don't pray.
That's a conversation. Oh, okay. So you're not praying. That's not a conversation. That's low key.
But for example, let's say they don't pray. I'm not willing.
There's
to
no
be
conversation
that person
to
be like, okay, I'm gonna get with you and make sure then you pray. No, I want you to be packaged and done when you come to me, and I just open the package and enjoy you. Do you know what I mean? Like, it sounds
I'm
really
not
bad
even here for us sometimes, to be honest.
Like,
because what blessings?
It's free express delivery with premium packaging to my door at a convenient time. That's the person I'm looking for. Do you know what I mean?
Like, I feel like if you're like to me, sorry, there's like a buzzing and it's irritating me.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're like to me, yeah, I pray sometimes. I'm just like, I feel like you're living your life on loan. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
priorities
you're just
priorities.
Not even priorities. I just feel like all the goodness, you know, when you're just living on luck. Like,
on the edge, but too much on the edge.
Like, I just feel like there's no, you know, there's a saying, and it's really hard to explain it because it's not from the Western. I've picked it up from like the other side of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But it's this thing where like you're living life on like borrowed luck or borrowed time. So it's a concept of you can use up all your luck in life on one thing. So sometimes someone can win like the lottery, and someone will be like, you could have used up all your luck to win that lottery, so that means the rest of your life
is
now going to
be
hardship.
Yeah.
Because you just, all your luck has been used, all your good or all your goodness, all your good, all the good that's been assigned
that
for you in this world has been used up on, so
that
it says, say if someone fell from like a cliff and didn't die or something,
that's
someone would
good.
Be like, all the good
He's there.
Yeah, all your good luck, all the good that's assigned for you, you just used it up to survive. All your good chances, all your lives or whatever. So it's this concept. So I feel like someone's not praying. They're just living on loan. Like, you're just borrowing. You're borrowing, like, I don't even think you have any good luck or good...
You're just
on borrowed time, like...
It's like, I don't know how to put it. Like, you know when the timer's about to be up, but you don't even know it's going to be up. You can't see the timer. But you're just, you're just kind of...
borrowed time, like, you're not even...
Like, you're trying to get the bus, but you don't know when the bus is coming.
Like, bad luck is coming for you, basically. Like, yeah, at any point now, you're going to get hit by a bus. Like, I just don't...
I can't
associate. I'm not saying people who don't pray will get hit by a bus, but I just feel like...
That's the analogy that you want to put it with. And I feel like when someone says they don't pray, like, I always make the word that, like, they get better, like, I'll try and advise them. If I like you enough, I'll be like, okay, you know, maybe download an app. Like, just find it. But it comes from within yourself, and I feel like you just have to prioritize yourself a lot. Like, I just feel like... Oh, this is one person I'm working with, and I've observed him today. He doesn't pray throughout the day. So I'm a bit like, we're going to get to this point of conversation where our Islams are going to... Even today, he smokes. So our Islams are kind of clashing, but I feel like we're going to get to a point where I'm saying I'm going to pray.
This is why I've started calling it brands. I just feel like we're all operating with different brands. Yeah. And sometimes you can be Chanel, or to be honest, I can be Chanel or whatever, and you can be Primark. Like, we don't have to mix.
Yeah, we don't have to mix. I'm not going to say, oh, you must not come and pray with me.
Please. We're all clothing, but we're different types of clothing. Exactly. And me, myself, and I am the clothing made out of the light from heaven. That's what I've decided.
That's what I at least aspire to be. But I feel like, also, because I feel like this is definitely going to come up with work. Sometimes you go in the air of like, no, I pray 5 times a day, and I'm unapologetic about that fact. And you kind of seem like you're on some high horse. Like, so today when we're talking about smoking... The Muslim guy didn't say anything because I feel like he just knew that.
Can you imagine? It's not been recording all this time. But do you know what? It's fine because I feel
you
like.
You have that, right?
Yeah, I feel like that's been recording. So we've just been connected. Has that been recording?
Yeah, it has.
Okay.
Oh, Lord.
So I'm just going to have to pull up. The audio for this episode is just going to be really, really crap.
Different. Okay. I was even doing close up to the mic because
for
I
real,
to
I've been
him.
Hearing it calm. I don't know why. I just thought, let me check it.
Oh,
but we're going to just.
Wow. My heart really dropped for 2 seconds because I forgot about that. Hey, yeah, sorry.
Penciling.
Oh, no.
Is it fine?
I think so. I mean, if it doesn't work
the
anymore.
Legs.
How much is this?
It's fine. Just sit down. We're gonna have half baked audio. It's fine. Oh,
it's cool.
Right. So we're gonna go into the rest of the topics now because we've just realized that all of it wasn't recording.
Yeah,
source
guys.
That could have explained the buzzing from earlier actually. I looked at it to check the time. I wanted to be like, how many hours have we been doing this for?
We've been doing this for over an hour.
Oh wow. Okay, cool. So let's speed through the rest.
Okay,
full screen.
Yeah, basically if you haven't listened to Nima on BBC One Extra, you're a waste man. So go and
support
yourself.
The tinkers.
And not be a waste man.
Final topic from the thing is first year medical student delivers his first baby at Warren Street Tube Station.
Yeah.
A medical student, Hamza Salim, 21 years old, has delivered his first baby at a tube station.
Oh God.
The first year UCL student told the Evening Standard, this is where we took it from, how he saw the mother leaning against the wall by a Northern Line platform. She was breathing, screaming, all of them stuff. And he realised that she was in labour. He delivered the baby. And then paramedics came like a few minutes afterwards to cut the umbilical cord. But like he basically...
Warren Street, and that's near a hospital.
Probably.
So why didn't...
All I know is it just reconfirms my one rule in life. Stay away from heavily pregnant women. They scare me and I don't want to be one of the people there to witness birth.
Really?
Nope,
I think it is a bit scary.
I find
a lot's going on.
Everyone who's been heavily pregnant around me has witnessed the fact that I'm very uncomfortable. I just feel like at any moment you're going to break. Like it's just going to be and I'm literally, honestly to God, I'm running.
Really?
I don't think I have the courage to even, I think I'm running. I'm not even going to lie. I think I don't want to be there to test it. I'm not touching you because I'm just going to be like,
it's a lot to do with, to be honest, because if you mess anything up, you're going to hurt the woman and the child.
That's not even why I was like, that's, yeah.
Oh, and it's also not very pleasant.
It's just like Aisha's always like watching One Born Every Minute, and she's so fascinated by this whole thing. And she's always just like, oh my God, this is so beautiful, the miracle of Allah, subhanAllah, blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, turn the TV off.
Really?
Yeah.
I
mean,
I'm watching
slimy.
It. Yeah.
They look ugly, newborns.
Mm-hmm.
They just look really bad. The whole thing is just, it's like space for me. It's just like, this is just magical and absolutely disgusting.
No, obviously, physically, it's a lot of, ugh. But I just feel like, I think it's being called an empath, where you feel what you see. So, like, you know, on Hope City or like one of those shows, if they cut the arm, I feel it. Like, I don't know, it's just weird. So if I'm seeing someone giving birth, I feel like I'm also giving birth, and it's mad.
I just hope it's not contagious. Whatever you have, like,
I feel like I've always been like that person. Like, I don't really watch like the whole BC and all those things too tough, because when I see them cutting the arm, I have to hold my arm because I feel like my arm's being cut. So when I see someone giving birth, I'm instantly like holding my legs together and like holding my stomach, because I just feel like that's a lot for me. See, I can't imagine myself actually doing it as well, because I've looked at myself today and I was like, yeah, I have a slim kind of frame. I have a small slim frame. How does this physically work?
The whole mathematics of labour.
It is definitely from like the mercy of Allah that it happens. And I think because it happens obviously regularly, we don't see how amazing it is and whatnot. But I just think it's a bit mad.
I think like there's a massive disconnect with me, actually. I just thought about it just now. I feel like I have zero, I'm gonna say zero, but probably that's a lie. I have like 10%. Like, for me, I feel like my personality or even humanity or whatever the range is, mm-hmm. it literally jumps from like me as I am to kids. I love kids. I absolutely adore children.
Yeah, you're very
but
big
the bit
kids.
In the middle, I detest. I kind of don't like, and it's so weird because like,
what's a kid to you? What's a kid? Define the age.
Anything from 3 months up. Anything under 3 months is really ugly. You don't even like, your child is so cute. No, what your child's wearing is cute.
You can't really define. I like formulated. The babies when like you can start to see their features more.
Yeah, and,
like,
that's 3 months.
Is it?
That's pretty much.
Okay.
When they start putting filling out and stuff, and they're all chubby, and then they start having personalities.
And then everything from then on, they're actually changing. Because it's like, wow, you're a different
three
person.
3 months. Once that child hits that 3 months, it's like when my dad brought my sister along, I was so pissed. I was like, what the hell's wrong with you bringing us this random kid? Saw that child, looked that baby dead in the face. I was like, yep, family.
Really?
Done. I do kids. My whole family's like that. We all do kids. I don't know if they like that, like with me.
But what is it? 3 months to what age?
Till death.
What do you mean?
Like, once you've got an attachment, you've got an attachment. And once someone's family, they're family.
So, how old is your sister now, if you don't mind saying?
Probably like 6, 7. I don't know. No,
okay, so
five,
is she still a kid?
Yeah, of course she is. She's always going to be younger than me.
Yeah, but like when she's 20, she's not a kid.
Yes, they are still a kid.
Oh, so you have to see them in their kid form, and then it's like, oh, you're a kid forever.
Like, if you're family, you're family. It's not like you're a kid forever. It's just like, if you're family, you're family. Like, once
but
you're...
then you see your siblings like that.
Yeah, my siblings are ripe for my siblings. They're still
that's
kids.
Fair. Yeah, that to be honest, I do. Yeah, my sisters as well. Like,
it's still kids. That's what I'm saying. It's different for family. I'm not doing this. Doesn't apply to other people's kids. I couldn't care less for your kid. Couldn't care less for other people's kids. Not like I want their children to like suffer or anything like that. It's just that this attachment, this bond,
because you built it in the childhood of that person.
Like, there's very few people, like, if Ozzy had a child, it's like, that's my child. If there's like a bond that formulates, that stays, that I can, and it's like a trigger. It's not even, I'm not gonna be like, oh yeah, it's innate, I don't know what it is. No, it's a conscious decision that this child I'm going to love till death, because this is XYZ's nice. Child. Yeah, that applies. That middle part, like,
so
if Ozzy's like
as an adult, like, it's just not there.
Who are you? Don't know you, mate. I mean, you as an adult. That's a conversation that I don't need to
you
have.
You have to meet them as a kid.
Life.
My question is, when's that cutoff point of meeting you as a kid that you're gonna then formulate the love?
Anything over 7, I don't need to know.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So from
the by 7, they have their attitude. They have, but then it's not like I don't need to know. It's like, it's too much work to formulate some sort of, like, in all fairness, my dad had another child and I didn't really meet that child for months.
Really?
And so the bond isn't necessarily the same. I'm always like, he doesn't like me.
The boy?
Yeah. Doesn't like me. Yeah.
Because the girl's first. Similar name.
Mm.
Yeah.
He's always like, he doesn't really like me.
Yeah, he did.
No, I didn't meet him for a while. I didn't really consider. To be honest, it's not like I didn't meet him for a while yet.
But it wasn't the same. Like, I remember your sister was here.
No, I just really wasn't concerned with him. Not in a negative way. It was like, he's a baby, he needs to stay at home. Cool. That means to be around him, I have to be.
Go there.
Yeah. I met her at a time old enough to be able to see her. Like, my dad would bring her along and stuff. So my dad was the parent. And then it was like a thing where, like, again, I was driving. So this is too much family information. But I was driving, I'd be able to see her. I'd be able to pick her up and see her in my comfort zone. I wouldn't have to be locked up. So we'd go shopping, we'd spend, she'd be sleepovers. The boy was too young to do any of that with us because he was a baby. By the time he was old enough, I didn't have a car anymore. And they also moved. So there's a disconnect in our relationship besides the fact that he's family. So it's not like, oh, I detest him. I just don't know him.
Yeah,
and I'm like, okay, I don't know you, fine. I'm still here to pick up your sister because that's who I know. That's
what it's like. Yeah, I'm here to pick up X, not you.
And on top of that, it's a boy. Like, my brothers can deal with that. Just because, not in like,
because he says something like, yeah, you're a boy.
Yeah, not even like in a mean, horrible way. It's just that there's a lot of energy and there's a lot of running around and there's a lot of two kids. Looking after two kids on your own is way too much stress. So you have to like do one at a time, especially when they're not your kids. It's just like, okay, like, even my sister was talking about the fact that I can't punish her. And my brother always laughs because she'll pull her face here and I'll just feel so bad. And I'm literally just like, yeah, there's no punishment happening. There's nothing.
Really. And then, yeah, I think about this actually, like my random thoughts of today. I don't think I'm going to be the authoritarian parent because I just feel like my child would look at me and I'll look at my child and she'll be like, oh, I can't do this.
I can do it. Like, I can really do it. I did it for my siblings. It's just...
Your siblings are different, definitely.
That's what I'm saying. But like, that's why I feel like I can do it. But this one, what she did was... She literally started airing me at the age of 3. She decided she wasn't going to talk to me anymore. I made it very clear that she wasn't talking to me. And then she'd be talking to Abu. And then Abu's laughing. Because he's you're 3, right? He's clocking that she's pissed at me. And I was just thinking, what are you doing?
Bad energy, man. She can't deal with it.
She was just like, she can't deal. And she'll look me dead in the eye. And she'll go, and then be like, Abu. And then she was doing all this. And I just thought to myself, this child needs to be returned now. Because this is too much.
This is too much, yeah.
Do you know how old I am?
Yeah, no.
You actually refuse to
where's respect? But at least she's got her principles laid down for young.
I just was very
like, she doesn't interact with people or things that she doesn't want to.
Oh, but I think I must have been like, let's go to bed or let's brush our teeth or regular stuff. And she thought, no, Nim's not talking to you. But that's
very cheeky.
Very cheeky. And I just thought, time to return you to the person that's going to discipline you because clearly I can't be the bad guy. I just want to be the fun older sister. That.
Yeah.
That's it. But if it's your own child, if it's time to be the bad guy, it's time to be the bad guy because no one has time. You can't return them.
My children aren't going to be bad. That's my continual prayer. I can't deal with that. And if they try to act out one day to just try and be like outside the box, they're going to your father.
Good riddance.
Because I'm not here for that energy. I'm here for the good times.
Amen, amen. Yeah. Okay, cool. So that's pretty much it for this episode. It's been a really, really, really long episode with all croup, with a bit of problems because it does seem as though...
No audio was recorded. Yeah.
But living life, that's just what happens when Sada decides that she's going to just change the schedule. Everything's
We're
not going to work. And that's life.
I'm sorry.
Right. So we need to move on. Our top for today, we're going to just pass it on. Share one thing you've learned this week if we're going to be really, really quick.
I don't know.
That's my thing. You can't say it.
What do you mean?
The one at the bottom. That's my thing that I've learned this week.
Oh no, can you say that first then whilst I think of mine?
Okay, my thing that I've learned this week is that I do not have time to let you block my blessings, and that's really, really important. I refuse to let you block my blessings because I've realized a lot of people want to talk big and bad. You want to be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that, oh, change my life 2019, oh, shooting my shot, da 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 da. It's all talk. Not many people are willing to do the actions.
Action.
And when people meet you and they realize that you're here for the action, you're about that, then they want to come and start moving all types of ways and start being all in and out and all this kind of activity that, hey, what? I'm just not going to be here for.
Yeah.
So I've learned that I'm actually prepared to do the work it takes to be a billionaire. And I've also deeped that a billionaire definitely murdered someone to become a billionaire. So do you actually think a billionaire got to being a billionaire without murdering someone?
I want to be that billionaire. So you're going to murder someone now, is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not murdering someone, but I'm using it as like
a metaphor. They do whatever they had to do to get to where they go.
But I'm definitely sure that Jeff Bezos has killed several people because you do not become a 140 billionaire.
It's 140 billion.
It's 140 billion. Oh, that's his net worth or something. Or 137.
But yeah, but net worth is like a combination of a lot of things. And Amazon are doing a lot.
You still don't get there without a couple murders.
You think?
I just feel like I might go work for Amazon still,
so I have to start speaking nice of them.
No, I'm not saying that he's actually, proof is in the pudding. I just feel like you don't amass that much without, even if you're making enemies, even if random people that are being silenced,
my prayers to be rich too much negative.
But clean money, you have to cap it, someone. I just feel like A to B.
No, as in clean, ethical, clean, like halal clean. Every other clean, nah, banda, I'll get work for my money.
I don't think there's a single billionaire...
Halal clean?
Nah, I feel like certain underhanded things has to be done.
So what kind of things would you, are you willing to do?
Underhanded, like illegal trading maybe, when you know information.
Illegal trading, like not meeting standards.
No, so like when you know information, isn't that like the whole thingy, basic Wall Street, like corruption, when you have information that's gonna like a certain company's gonna get taken over, and so you maybe
baby, that's business.
You sell your, it's illegal, you sell your shares when you know something about someone. So I know that you're gonna
go bankrupt, possibly.
I know you're about to announce that you're gonna be bankrupt tomorrow morning. So I will now sell my shares and make a huge profit from them, whilst people still think you're doing fantastic.
Is that illegal?
It's illegal.
How do you do that?
It's insider trading, because let's say you can, someone in your company comes and tells me that, oh yeah, we're going bankrupt, we're announcing bankruptcy tomorrow morning, and so right now tonight, even before the thing is closed, I sell all my shares. I don't tell anybody. You have to sell your shares, or any actions you have to do, you have to do it based on the information that everybody has. You cannot have information. So then if tomorrow morning you announce that you've gone bankrupt, all the people who just bought my shares have been shortchanged.
Oh no, now I feel haram bad.
If an angel comes to you in your sleep, is like, sell your shares.
That's from Allah. What do you mean I'm selling my shares?
That's what I'm saying. So imagine that you did that every single time. How much money are you going to make? If you're doing that every single time, you know, because the trading is literally knowing when to sell and when to buy, so that you, in order to make a profit with the difference. If each time someone is giving you the information, and all you do,
it's so tight.
I said it's tight. It's straight up wrong.
You're
working, and that's why trading.
Can I share that information with someone and sell my shares?
You can't operate with information
that's not public.
I feel like there's one type
of... Can I just tweet it and be like, oh, by the way, they're going bankrupt?
Yeah, if you tweet it and then someone saw it and then sold their shares and stuff, and you've basically leaked. So now what you are is a whistleblower, or probably not even a whistleblower, but you basically leaked. Then the company can come and sue you for whatever, because that's an individual thing. It's like you've gone and leaked information, blah, blah, blah. No. But if you've done it in order to like benefit and be like, oh yeah, by the way, let me tell you something that you need to know. Or, and they will trace you, man. The minute they feel like you're working with information, there's a mole in the company.
Okay, so I'm avoiding that kind of stuff.
You sound really upset.
Yeah, because I just feel like that's business.
And this is just facts that I've got from movies, by the way, guys.
I thought it was business. Like, if I hear something the day before, then I'm lucky and I'm going to work on that. That's what I thought.
You have to do it in a way that it can't be traced back to you.
Yeah.
So, like, I was watching Billions, and there's a scene where we find out that when the Twin Towers went down, he claimed to either have been in the building or something, but what he did was, as soon as the Twin Towers went down, which I don't think is illegal, or there's proof of it being illegal or something, or it's just wrong, he went back to the office and started selling shares in certain businesses and buying up shares in health, and
because he knew that health was gonna go up,
and pharmaceuticals and stuff like that, and he was selling his shares in aeronautical and stuff like that. But this was while people were still running into the building to try and rescue people. So whilst people were trying to save people's lives, he made billions.
It's his job to save people's lives.
But this is what I'm saying. So people are like, ethically, morally, that's all wrong, because he's
capitalizing.
If the film is correct, he saw the plane go straight into the building. So before anybody had that information, the first thing he did was start selling his shares. And so people are pissed on a moral bit, because it's like,
on a moral basis, but at the same time, what am I gonna do? Do you know what I mean? What am I doing from this office? If my job was to be a firefighter, hospital person, and I was now going to sell shares, I'm bad because I have a job to do. But I'm office man.
Basically, the thing is, he kept quiet, and it came out that he made billions off the deaths of so many people.
He didn't make billions off the deaths. He made billions off the event. He made billions that happened off to the be... death
of so many people. Other people did as well, but they did it afterwards. So his head starts. Obviously, everyone started selling their shares. It happened. Exactly. But it was the fact that he had maybe a 5-10 minute head start. It's not that he's a criminal, whatever.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Because he does later on turn to do other, like, eyebrow-raising stuff.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that... And I'm not defending him, because I didn't even watch the rest. I haven't caught up with Billions.
I personally wouldn't do it, because I wouldn't have thought that quickly. But I think he's just quick. He was just quick and he knew, like, he's able to see. That's
it
good.
It makes you think about real life. Money. It makes you think that when something is happening to you that is very dangerous, someone else on the other side is benefiting. Imagine now you decide to...
I'll be salty, but, like, I can't blame them.
Imagine, like, for example, we're suing McDonald's and there's a class action suit. There's, like, maybe, like, 20 people suing McDonald's for something, right? Yeah. And we just happen to be talking about it with our lawyer or whatever.
Yeah.
And we have a very good case and... whilst we're getting ready to sue McDonald's and it's going to be a media storm, and next man's overhearing the fact that we're going to sue McDonald's and it's just going to be a media crisis, everything, and he happens to be a trader.
You're wasting.
So he starts selling his his shares in McDonald's because McDonald's shares are going to take a plunge, right?
Okay.
Because whilst all of this is happening,
bring me in, bro.
People are losing confidence.
If you want to make money off my stuff,
we do a 6-month class action suit. We lose. We don't make no money. But guy who sold McDonald's, because McDonald's obviously is going to win. They're a billion, multi-billionaire company, whatever. Yeah. But they're just gonna have. They're gonna take a hit. They're gonna be prepared to take a hit. So for the next 6 months, McDonald's is gonna take a nosedive.
Yeah, I think that's okay. Let's say
poor sitting here, poor, didn't get nothing because McDonald's. We shouldn't even be saying McDonald's. McDo Wow. Let's just make a random name up.
Yeah.
Or McRonald's. McRonald's has the best lawyers, everything. They line up, square up. After this 6 months thing or whatever, they're all back to square one.
Yeah.
They've maybe lost 30 billion or no, not, but that's five, changed, not billion, sorry. Maybe they've lost 330 or 3 million or something like that. But that's a lot better than the 40 million they have to pay out if we was to win, whatever.
So because they're saying, because that man worked quicker, he leaked something.
But the trader altogether, he makes if 20 mil.
If he's making
money, we made nothing.
Okay, I'm salty, but I can't blame him. I'm salty, but I can't blame him. Sorry.
You're operating on the information that you've been given.
Yeah.
Nah, man.
Nah. If there's laws and regulations in place to say that I can't do, for example, the trading thing, then yeah, I'm in a bit of a sick situation because there's a law, and obviously as a Muslim, I have to abide by the law of the land. Fair. There's nothing saying that if he heard me in conversation and he ran with that information, he can't use it. I'm so sorry. Next time I have to.
I don't know if there's a law about that though. Like, if you overhear something, can you operate on that? But I know that there's, like, you legally cannot operate on information
for the trading thing,
like leaked information that you're not supposed to have.
So I can't do that. But if I would definitely be that man and sell my shit. I'm so sorry.
I don't know.
Obviously, like, let's say. In maybe like a lesser example, let's say I know you're going to do something big and whatnot, and I'm now going to start making money off it. There's a bit of because of the relationship I have with you.
Yeah, so there's another one where, like, I know, like, tomorrow you're going to put a patent in for a drug that you've been working on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that drug is going to change cancer altogether.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be a multi-trillion...
game changer.
Yeah, it's a trillionaire drug, history basically.
Books.
Now... you've gone and bought shares in the company that I'm putting the patent or I'm going to be working with or whatever. Or you've even told another company to go and acquire. You know that there's so many, the pharmaceutical one is mad.
Mm-hmm.
It's a loss. Like, you shouldn't be able.
If it's at your loss, I won't do it because
of the it's always going to be at.
If it's not at anyone's loss, then I'm going to work on it. I'm going to be that person. Hi, I'm going to buy some shares. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'll assess it like that. Do you know what I mean? So let's say you're going to do something big and whatnot. As long as I'm not taking
if
from your bread.
If you've assessed it fairly, that makes
then
sense.
Then I will also take
out
bread
here,
too. I'm also eating good as well.
I'm here for illegalities, like legalities. Like, if you're
I don't think that's
scam,
illegal.
Scam,
I think that's
country,
being quick and taking opportunity as it comes. Do you know what I mean? You're taking opportunity. You're acting fast.
Definitely.
Oh no, I feel like I'm saying
so
bad
share
things.
One thing that you've learned. You are definitely saying bad things. But
am I?
No one can say anything because it's not your profession, but if you do
thing,
decide to do this in the future, this can be submitted as evidence.
Really?
But I'm not going to submit it. I'm
guys,
run away.
Can you
I'm
just behave? Can you face your front, please?
I'm not going to snitch.
But
No snitching.
But
one thing you've learnt this.
What have I learned? I think you just.
You've learnt how to scam and you're a scammer.
Is that scamming?
It's not. I don't know, to be honest.
I'm
not doing law.
Fast. I'll fully sit in the court of law and be like, I'm so sorry, I just thought I was acting fast.
She's just going to cry and be like, I
don't know. I'll fully just cry
and
be like,
and then you're going to give you 20 years because you're black. You're just going to be like, black tears don't matter.
Exactly. Wow. What have I learned? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Wow.
What have I learned?
It's enough. We have to wrap up.
I don't have time.
Mindfulness segment is to literally just tell you to claim what's yours.
I've learned that I'm apparently a scammer.
She's a scammer. Our mindfulness segment for today is claim what's yours.
Yeah.
And also make sure that your system is working in advance. That's what the mindfulness lesson of the day is.
Be fast.
We're gonna wrap up here because I literally have to come back into this and double check that everything is working.
Yeah.
Great, and it's been way too long and I don't have time. So it's been Mentu Pod. Thank you for tuning in. It's been lovely talking to you guys. Have a lovely day.
Bye.